Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everyone. We are live. We are on the air. We are back, and it is such a treat and a pleasure, and I want to thank all of you all listeners who have been faithful and supportive over the time and tenure that we took off for the last couple of weeks. It's been refreshing to take a little break and a breather, but guess what? We're back, and we've got an all-too-important topic tonight that we want to delve right into. So listen, if you are just this is your first time listening to the show, I want to personally welcome you and say thank you for tuning into the show, whether you're listening live right now, whether you are on dialing in whatsoever. Listen, this show tonight is a very important discussion, and I think that I couldn't do it by myself. Now, I've got some guests. They're going to join me in just a little bit, but without further ado, I want to tell you a little bit about the show. The whole focus of the show is about you. That's right. It's about you. It's about helping you live better, love deeper, and laugh more. It's about helping you become a man or the woman, not in your dreams, but in your reality, to help you to unpack the things that challenge you in relationships, help you find your voice, and help you find your God zone and in that sweet spot. So we are going to get right into it. But the show is all about helping you improve to be better, because when you are better, we are better. Again, not bitter, better. And that's the whole goal and the assignment and focus of the show. I'm Chris Richardson. I'm your host tonight. Thank you again for rolling with me. This show was created a few years back where we said, you know what, we've got issues that pertain and plague relationships, and we need to talk about some things that real heart issues that matter, not things on the surface. See, it's all good when you want to talk surface talk, but we want to jump right into the heat of the matter and really delve down, get below the fingernail, get below the root of it, where it's really where we can grasp that thing and really unpack some things so that we're not carrying around some baggage. A friend of mine posted something today on social media, and I saw that good friend, Dr. Pam Love, and she made a post about a Band-Aid. And it referenced, and I'm paraphrasing what she said, but it was something to the effect that many people may wear a Band-Aid to cover a cut, but unfortunately it's hemorrhaging, so they're going to just keep bleeding, and they're going to bleed right through. Well, some people within relationships are bleeding, and sadly, they don't even see that they're hemorrhaging. That's a shout in itself. Sometimes. So what we're going to talk about tonight is just that. Hey, am I too selfish to be in a relationship? And so let's get right down and hot and heavy into it. Listen, tonight, a couple rules, real simple. We're going to open up the landline, and if you want to dial in, feel free to do so. The number to do it is 619-924-0869. Now, if you're already dialed in, I see you. If you want to post a comment, or if you want to make a recommendation or a suggestion or respond to something that's been said, you can dial in and just press 1. If you're online, it's real simple. All you have to do is visit Facebook group, and the address is The Real Talk with Chris Richardson Show. So if you are online, jump on board, go to The Real Talk with Chris Richardson Show, and join our group page that we have. We'll have a live chat going on there and dialogue with some of the other listeners who are tuning in at the same time. So in just a second, I'll be right back. We're going to play a little song to set the atmosphere for tonight's topic, and we're going to get right into it, okay? So stay tuned.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing, bro?
Good.
Is she playing?
Yeah, man. You better hurry up in there, man. She's about to go on stage right now.
To another harmony, like, loving you ain't nothing helping.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's ready?
Right.
All right.
Here we go.
Okay.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to A Love Story, and this is Emotional Roller Coaster.
Last night I cried, tossed and turned, woke up with dry eyes, my mind was racing, feet were pacing, Lord help me, please tell me what I have gotten into. Ran my 3 miles to clear my mind, it always helps me out, it's my therapy when I'm losing it, which is usually, hey.
All right. Well, welcome back, everybody. That's it. That's my girl, Vivian Green. We were on an emotional roller coaster. Look, if you listen to that song, I think that's appropriate for tonight's topic, if you will, because we're going to talk about the emotional roller coaster that someone puts you through, and that's a selfish person in a relationship. So I want to start off really asking the question, and anybody can chime in at any given time. Just press one. You're out there listening. What does it mean to be selfish in a relationship? Let's start there by defining it. I always say what you don't define will ultimately define your relationship, so I think it's important to know that we're operating from at least a mutual understanding or a mutual level of respect in terms of being from the same definition, if you will. You know, so what is selfishness? I'll take a call from anybody, 619-924-0869. What's your opinion? What are your views on selfishness? I'll wait for you to respond. All you have to do is press 1. And the answer is said, not a word. Now, I know y'all not going to be silent out there tonight because I can talk, but I'm not going to do all the talking tonight because this is called call and response. This is going to be more interactive tonight, and I see you out there on social media as well, so I will respond to that, and we'll come back to the chat line as well. So I see a response out there on social media that responded. Let's see if she's answering the question. Okay, again, I'll pose the question. What is selfishness? That's the question, the $64 million question. I'll take the first call at 619-924-0869 if anybody wants to take a stab at it. All you have to do is press 1 on your phone. All right, so let's do it like this. Hey, 516-852, thanks for rolling with me. The question of the night is, what is selfishness? If you had to define selfishness, what would you say it is? All right. 240-695, you're live. Thanks for calling and rolling with a brother. If tonight's topic is, am I too selfish to be in a relationship? So, coming from you, if you had to define what is selfishness, what's your definition of selfishness? All right. So let's do it like this, because that just backfired and that's not working. So I'm going to talk. If y'all want to jump in, feel free to do so. The lines are lit up. I can see that right now that you're out there. So let me just teach tonight. If that's what y'all want me to do, I'll go ahead and do that. So I digress. I wanted this to be an interactive segment, but I see that it may be just a little bit later. So let me warn you up to this. Everything that we try to do here on the show is really taken from a Christian perspective. So I want to start here. Let's build the foundation before we jump into the pool, if you will. So let me give you a few scriptures, okay? So whether you're saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, it doesn't matter. I'm going to give you this some Bible right here because we're going to operate from that so that we build this, if we're going to build this scaffold, this is how we're going to have a support system to stand on it. So Philippians 2, this is one of my favorite passages as well, and I'm reading from the ESV. So this is what it says. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest to others. So let each of you look not to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Okay, that's one scripture. Now let's build the case. 2 Timothy 3, 2 through 4 says, for people will be lovers of self, they're lovers of money, they're proud, they're arrogant, they're abusive, they're disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That's another. That's called selfishness. So you're just filling your flesh, and all of those things in that description in that particular passage talk to that. That's 2 Timothy. Now, 1 John 3:17 says, but if anyone has the world's good and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? We'll come back and we'll do a call and response again to some of the scriptures, in particular that one right there, because the question is, says there's a question here, and he says, how does God's love abide in him? So if you're selfish, where's God in the midst of that? If you're being selfishness, is it, the root of it is coming from your flesh. So the question that the author is writing here is how does God's love show in that if you're selfish? Next scripture I want to give you is 1 Corinthians 10:24. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, okay? Let's go to this. Let no one seek his own good but the good of his neighbor. Let no one seek his own good but the good of his neighbor, okay? Last scripture I want to give you, and then we're going to move forward. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. So if I'm summarizing this correctly, what I'm reading from all these passages as they refer to, and again, I read from the ESV version, in talking about selfishness is that, one, God's not in it, and two, if God is in it, what I am challenged to do and responsible to do is not only if I'm thinking about myself, I have to be considerate and put others' interests just above myself. And that's the way it reads. Do nothing for rivalry or conceit, but in humility, being humble. Okay? So count others more significant than yourselves. Now, that's hard to do. Now, it's hard to do for some of y'all because y'all don't like who you are in yourself. That's really hard for some people to do because some people they have a challenge with who they are. So yet alone, you know what? I said this the other day when I was teaching a class, that the way you feel about yourself is reflective of how you treat other people around you. So if you don't feel good about yourself, you have a low self-esteem, or maybe you have a high self-esteem, that is reflective of how you will give, what you give to others. You know, some of you all give gifts, and some of us, I can say this too, because I'm a work in progress just like the next person. Oh, by the way, my show is not about judgment. This is a judgment-free zone. I always say this, that no one has a heaven or hell to put you in, and everyone has an opinion. It's just that we agree to disagree at the end of the day and that we can challenge the message, but we agree on this show we don't ever, ever attack the messenger. That's rule number one, and I'm sorry. I apologize for those out there who know that. Now, let's go from the definition from Merriam-Webster's. All right, what does Merriam-Webster say about that? Well, the definition of selfishness, it says, concerned excessively or exclusively with oneself, seeking or concentrating on one's own advantage, pleasure, or well-being without regard for others. So that right there automatically contradicts what the scriptures have said, because it says you are to esteem others more than yourself. If you're operating in an area of humility and operating from the foundation of love. Now, that's something that's a work in progress. I'm going to be real with you. That's a work in progress for me, too. Let's just keep it 100, because that's not something that I always do. Now, here's what I try to be considerate about doing. I try to be other-minded in my choices, but I don't always hit the perfect mark. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm saying? So let me see who's ready to respond tonight. Hey, again, the question is, am I too selfish to be in a relationship? And I think I'm joined tonight by my brother and my sister on the Smiths there. Ed, Debbie, are you there? All right.
We're here. How are you, Chris?
Oh, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I don't know what y'all doing over there, but hey, good morning. How y'all doing?
Whatever.
Well, I just want to welcome you all to the show. You are the first caller and contestant. No, y'all. Welcome to the family, to the show family. Listen, guys, we're talking about a subject I think that's really important. And you know, just for the record, my fiance gave me this topic and something that she thought that would be a good topic of discussion. In fact, she's already given me next week's topic. How about that? Y'all won't like that one when I give it to you at the end of the show. So she is on fire, and I salute and celebrate her. So, Smiths, we've been talking about this thing, and I'm trying to warm it up, build the foundation. I've given some foundational scriptures about selfishness as it pertains. I gave about 5, maybe 6 scriptures, and then I just read from the dictionary, Merriam-Webster's definition of selfishness. But, Deb, I ain't heard from you in a long time. Let's go ahead and break the people off what they want to hear. What is selfishness?
Oh, geez. Selfishness is putting yourself first, no matter the cost, not considering others. Selfishness is, it's a spirit, You know, it's a spirit. It's a mindset of me first. I have to get it before you get it. I have to get you before you get me. What I want, my dreams, everything that I desire comes before anything else. It's not, and when you're in a relationship, selfishness takes on the look where it's about me, not us. So, you know, those are my very generic definition of selfishness.
Yeah, let's give Brother Ed an opportunity to chime in on that. And from a male's perspective, you know, Debbie probably summed it up for the most part, you know, and I don't know if we can universally agree, but I think that obviously we can talk from a male's perspective and the females can talk from their perspective of how they see selfishness. Or is selfishness really universal? Ed, what are your thoughts?
I don't know if I want to say it's universal, but selfishness is just is centered around you. It is the opposite of dying. It is the opposite of servant leadership. You know, because you know if everything's centered around you, you come first. You need to receive first. You have to make sure that you are okay first. You getting the best of everything first. Then you're considered others. Then that's selfishness.
Yeah, hey, and that's what we want to talk about tonight. And that's the reality of it. Is selfishness is one of those things that Debbie said. It is a spirit. Let's call it for what it is. It is a spirit. And because see, Ed and I were talking about this earlier. When we were formed by love. We were created by love for love. And ultimately, through the fall of man and back in the garden, a lot of things entered into our spirit. So here we are now looking at it, and as a result, selfishness entered into the picture. And so now we're dealing with this, and it shows up because women have the propensity to be selfish. Listen, you could have been single. Let's say you've been single for 100 years, and if somebody else comes into your life, well, that's going to be hard for you, somewhat a little bit of a challenge for you to receive that. And you know, maybe you weren't called to be a eunuch. Maybe you were called to the level of ordination of marriage, you know, to exchange nuptials. Well, coming into independence to interdependence is intradependence is a process that you have to learn. And so it's easy, in a sense, to take on the selfish trait or spirit because you've been operating individually as opposed to now having to operate collectively. So you make it about me as opposed to we. And so, as I said in the beginning of the show, when you are better, we are better. So it starts with you and ends with you to begin acknowledging where the selfishness begins. All right, so Deb, let's talk about this. I wrote down a few things as I was trying to be prepared because I heard y'all went somewhere this weekend in the past and said I just don't like people coming in here talking off the top of their head. So that being said, I wrote a few things down. And give me some examples of selfishness. How does selfishness show up in relationships for others to see?
Oh, you know what? It shows up in a few different ways, you know, and Ed and I see it as we do counseling. So, for example, we have a couple that came to us for counseling, and he is worried about their finances. Okay, they both got laid off from work. They are living off of their savings, and he's concerned about how that money is being spent. You know, he wants to make sure that his family's covered, that, you know, they can cover bills when bills become due. And she wants to pursue a speaking career. Okay, she wants to, she feels that God is calling her to be a motivational speaker, and so that's the route that she wants to go. And that requires some money out of their account that he's not in agreement with that money being used, at least not right now. But she went ahead and she took the money to the tune of almost $20,000 to pursue her dreams and her calling, and their family suffered because of it. You know, that's one way that selfishness can look. that despite conversations about what's best for the family and the relationship, you still choose to do what's best for you. And there's some people who might say, oh, that's not selfish. You know, that's pursuing her dream. That's, you know, following what she wants to do. But when you're married, especially when you're married, those decisions have to be made together. You have to find a way to compromise. And if you have to sneak and do something that your spouse specifically asked you not to do in an effort to better yourself and get to your next level, that to me is selfishness. So that's just one of the examples that I have.
Hey, Ed, now that's a tough one right there. That's real.
Yeah.
What you got for me, Ed?
You know, we find this a lot also in that comes up a lot in relationship. Whenever, and I want to be, I know I have an accent and sometimes people probably don't understand me, but I want to be slow with this one. Whenever something happens in the relationship that need to be talked about as a couple, and you take that one thing and make it about you instead of us, that is selfish. When you take that issue and turn it to you and you become the victim, then that is selfish, because problems do arise in relationship. Together, the primary focus should be to eradicate the problem, to resolve the problem. But when you take it and make it about you, then it becomes much harder to resolve, because now you have turned the problem into from what it is into something totally different. So now you have to focus on taking different routes.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree with that. I think we also got another caller, and I'm going to join her in now. She's got some things to share. Hey, Toy, welcome to the call. We want to welcome you. Come on in and just get right at home. Take off your shoes.
Hey, Toy.
Oh, thank you. Hello, 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 my family. How are you?
Hey, Toy. Everyone is well, and we want to welcome you back to the show. I know we took a couple weeks off for a little bit, but we're getting right back into it. Tonight's topic, as you know, is the question, and it's a $64 million question: am I too selfish to be in a relationship? So, you know, how would you define selfishness? And I know we talked a little bit earlier about this, and we were kind of unpacking some things, but, you know,
yeah,
what would you say to the listeners about this topic discussion and giving some examples as well?
Oh, sure. Well, there are different levels of selfishness, and sometimes I will say there's some people that could be selfish and not be aware of it because of their environment that they grew up in. I'll use myself for an example. Sometimes I am told that I'm selfish, but I think that it's me overcompensating for the fact that I gave so much of myself in my last relationship. I actually put myself first. So you have to find a balance. So sometimes you can end up being selfish and you don't even know it because of just you trying to improve yourself. And in the point of empowerment, there has to be a balance after the empowerment. Does that make sense? So I definitely want to let some of the ladies know out there that it's great to be empowered, but my greatest lesson in terms of selfishness is that you may not even realize that you're making yourself the focal point so much to the point where you're forgetting about the other party. And when you're single for a while, like I have been, so up until this point, it can happen unintentionally because you're just so used to empowering yourself. And in the midst of that, you have to be able to the environment around you and not just what you hear, but through body language and, you know, all of that. And then some of it, I mean, I'm a daddy's girl, so I don't mean to be, I'm already assertive, I'm already an alpha female, and then I'm a daddy's girl on top of that. Throw all that together, might
okay,
be a little
selfish.
Okay,
That's not good.
I know. All that together might equal selfish. Not even intentionally, honestly, totally. But I might push the envelope a little bit in a relationship because I'm used to getting that attention. You know, that was that unconditional love that I got from my dad. And I expect that in my relationship because that's what I received. And not that my dad was perfect or always let me have my day, but most of the time he did. But I'm just being honest. I'm being very vulnerable, very open. So in the midst of all that, there's a growing up process, which is where I am now, where in the midst of me, even when, and what I'm learning is that even when people are asking you about you, they really do want to know, want you to ask them about them. This is, I'm trying to give out some tidbits. I hope people are taking notes because this is like real life stuff that I'm throwing out here, real life stuff. So I didn't know that I was seen as selfish. I thought that they wanted to know the information about me. So I don't mean to talk about myself, but you're asking me all these questions. So then I had to let my significant other know, well, I didn't know that you felt that way when you kept asking me all these questions about me. I thought that you just really wanted to know these things about me. But in the midst of him doing that, he, in his mind, he's like, surely she's going to ask me some questions. But I try to listen more. So in me thinking I'm listening more, I'm answering, I'm listening, I'm actively listening, I'm trying to do all this stuff. But then at the end of the day, I was selfish because I didn't ask him about anything. I'm like, what? Oh, my God. So I'm using humor, but I'm just, you know, these are just things to be mindful about. So in my conversation with my significant other this evening, after he asked me how was my day and asked me about a few things, I turned the table and was like, hey, so blah, blah, blah. So, you know, and I, not that I don't, but I'm just more aware and I ask more questions than I normally would so that the conversation does become more about him and his day than it is about me and my day. I hope what I'm sharing really makes sense here. And, you know, I really want to help people through, you know me, Ignite Your Life, like Inspiring Growth Now with Intensity and Transparent Energy. I'm just totally transparent. But I know that everything happens for a reason and it's a divine purpose for all that I went through so that I can help you guys. And done.
But you know, Toy, listening to you, I think some, like the situation that you just explained, I think that was not selfishness per se. I think sometimes it's just we're a little inconsiderate. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're not
mm-hmm.
necessarily thinking about incorporating the other person or ask, because maybe we're excited about something or we're just
yeah.
in a zone.
Yeah.
So it's
yeah.
something that we do unintentionally. But
that's
I think
what I was talking about. Yep.
Selfishness mm-hmm. is really, you know, like I said earlier, it's a spirit. And
it's a reckless disregard for the other party, too.
Right. And we practice it so much that mm-hmm. it becomes second nature. You know, then
mm-hmm.
we just, it's just, we're just out for self. You know,
mm-hmm.
we don't care if we hurt you in the process. We don't care
mm-hmm.
if we lose a friendship in the process. We don't even care
mm-hmm.
if we lose our relationship in the process.
Mm-hmm.
As long as the focus is on us, it's about us, and we get what we think we want. So
mm-hmm.
I don't think that what you just explained was selfishness. However, right, the unintentional, inconsiderate behavior can become
it has a spirit
selfishness,
of selfishness
if we leave it
that's,
unchecked.
Exactly, and that's what I was alluding to. So in my example, that's what I'm talking about. If you notice, my preface to the whole thing was, if this is just a portion, it's like a level of selfishness. That's why I started in the beginning with there are levels. And, like, even though it's subtle, it's still significant, and
mm-hmm.
I still want to help somebody. Because, again, like you said, if it goes unchecked, it grows. Like, that really grows, and then the person, and the reason why I brought this up was because it is so subtle, the devil is really busy, and he can end up using that to destroy a whole relationship because a person will not check that other person. It will happen for years on end, and then one day they just freaking explode, and you don't even understand why. Because
yeah.
of the fact that it was never checked. So that's
Absolutely.
The reason why I shared that. And, yeah, so that's why I was like, it's levels to it, and it's just very subtle. A more obvious selfishness would be those examples that you shared. Another one that I would add to that would be the withholding of information. I think he used a example similar to it, but it withholding information with reckless regard for how it will impact the other person. And that's in a regular relationship or a parent-child relationship too. Because sometimes children or even adults with their adult, as an adult with their parent, will withhold information so that they can get something else out of the parent, knowing that if the parent knew that piece of information, they would not either give the money for them or do whatever for them. So sometimes that actually becomes an act of selfishness, because you'd rather them sacrifice more money for you than for you to own up to the fact of whatever the situation was to get what you want. Because that happens more often than we realize. And then the parent becomes an enabler because of the fact that they're in the dark already, and then they continue to do it, because it starts like when they're teens, and then by the time they're 20s and 30s, it's still happening. But it's never, again, that checking is so necessary, because otherwise it becomes an enabling situation and the selfishness grows into a monster.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, selfishness, as Debbie said, is a spirit. It is also somewhat, and innately, it's a learned behavior. It's one of those things that if you're not careful, like I looked at probably about 10 or 12 areas of selfishness. I think Ed already hit a couple of them off the head. If every conversation is about you, then you're selfish. If you take their need and make it about your emotions, that's selfish.
Mm-hmm.
Selfishness, it comes out also when your fears, okay, now hear me correctly. This is a little different twist on this one. Selfishness comes out when your fears, your doubts, your emotions, your thoughts, they dominate your faith. That's when selfishness, that spirit, takes control. When selfishness is real simple, when you don't want to share, that's selfishness. It's all about me. I don't want to give. And that's selfishness. Another point was selfishness is knowing that you have the time, but you won't share it with the other person. Or it could be you have the money, but you won't share it with the other person. I'm getting feedback from my mind. All right. So always saying, here's one here. Hold on one second. I'm going to have to mute somebody out here. All right, mic check. Let's see. Deb, Ed, you there?
Yes, we're here.
Okay, we're good. Just doing a quick sound check. Hey, Toy, I'm going to bring you back in. I think you just want to mute your phone for a second while you're out, because it's giving some vibe back on there. So,
I'm in a quiet house with nothing on, so not quite sure what's happening, but okay.
All right, cool. So, selfishness, knowing, always saying no. Now, this one is from a woman to the women. Selfishness is when you're tired, but you always want to say no to your husband, knowing that ain't scripturally sound, knowing that ain't the right thing to do, okay? So that's selfishness. Selfishness is always thinking of my dreams and aspirations and not including my spouse's.
Mm-hmm.
That's selfishness. For men, sometimes selfishness is being in the man cave when it's really like, okay, cool, I'm in my man element, but I don't want to share with her because I don't want to feel a level of vulnerability. So the man's looking for, let's say that there's a problem, but he doesn't really want to address it with her because he feels as though he wants to solve it on his own, but he won't say anything, knowing whatever that outcome may be, just like the young lady earlier where she took the $20,000 and she went and did whatever with it. Well, men, we have a tendency that we'll get into that little man cave, and we don't want you to come in there. So that's us being selfish in a way. Nah, I'm good. I'm going to keep you at a distance. You know what I'm saying? So that's selfish. Selfishness is not willing to support your spouse in an activity that they enjoy. You make it all about things that are in your comfort that you enjoy. Selfishness is catering to your spouse is not catering to your spouse's love language. You know what their love language is, but you feel you make it all about what you want to be and how you want to be loved. So again, that's selfish because it's all about you. Selfishness is catering. It's money. Again, I talked about that when other parties struggling. Those are all the things. Now, here's an interesting piece that Dr. Johnny Parker said about selfishness, and I want you all to get this. He said selfishness is the national religion of hell. That's a powerful statement. Selfishness is a national religion of hell.
Yeah.
That's deep. I dropped the mic on that one right there. That's deep.
Yeah,
Dr. Parker
seriously.
Said that. I mean, think about that, because It's a national religion of hell because hell thrives off of selfish people. There's plenty of selfish people in hell. There's plenty of selfish people on their way to hell, you know, because that's where hell thrives, off of selfishness, because the devil appeared off of selfishness. He got kicked out of heaven because of selfishness. He wanted more than was that at the time. That was selfishness. So guess what?
Yeah.
Now he's just looking for some more selfish people to join his legion and his army.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to give you this other quote, and then I'm going to digress here for a second, and I'll let Toy and Deb come back and take it over. Hans Hansen made this comment, and this is his quote. People that know they're important, they think about others. People that think they are important, they think about themselves. Interesting.
Yeah.
That's an interesting quote.
Yeah.
If you know you're important, you're thinking about others. But if you think that you're important, you're thinking about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Because there's a difference between
the national religion
and knowing. Mm-hmm.
Right. Absolutely. There's a difference, Toy. You picked up on it. The key words, thinking and knowing. Hey, I already know. So if that's the case, if you already know, then you can make that's something that no one can take back that which you know. And so now you got to, where are you going to operate from? You're going to operate in a position of selfishness, or you're going to operate from a position of, I'm thinking about others, I'm being other-minded. Now, this is a challenge because sometimes selfishness is like Toy and Deb were saying earlier. It's the subtleties of the trait. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's just like, well, Toy was doing this, but she didn't realize what she was doing, how offensive it was to her significant other. And what he was reading, that's a selfish trait. See, you don't identify and sometimes recognize selfishness, but it will recognize, others will recognize it in you.
Yeah.
You know? And it'll show up, and when it does. Now, when somebody calls it out, Toy, I want to come back to you for a second. When somebody calls you out on it, how are you going to handle it? So in this particular instance, he was man enough and courageous enough to have that conversation with you.
Yep.
But how did he do it? Was it offensive? Was it rude? Was it disrespectful? And how did you respond? Was it in love? Was it with humility? And was it caring? Walk us through that.
Yeah, sure. The one thing that I really love about him is that he's a man of God. So, granted, he's not in the church, like, you know, but I know he knows the word because we talk, you know, and we dialogue about God. And I can submit to him. What made it easy for this conversation to actually take place was the fact that when he called me out, he was very direct about it. Then he was indirect about it to the point where he asked me certain questions. And then in my mind, I'm like, why is he asking me that question? And then it was a Jedi mind trick. Oh, God, he's talking about me. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Ding, 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 ding. It's me. Oh, Lord. Help me. You know, so, and then I told him, I said, thank you for the way that you approached it, because you could have said it any kind of way, but he was very loving about it. And he even used it kind of as a teaching tool for me to learn more about myself. He asked me, why do you think you are like that, or that you tend to do that sometimes? Like, where do you think that, even though it's not a really bad selfish act, but that little bit that I saw, you know, I was a little shocked by it because you're such a giving person. So where do you think that comes from? So then I'm sitting there just like, I can't believe I'm even in this conversation because I didn't even think I had a selfish bone in my body, but apparently I do. So, you know, I did think, and I said, well, my dad, you know, I am a daddy's girl, and, you know, the whole having your way kind of makes me a little bit that maybe that way unintentionally. And, you know, I'm, as an alpha female, you know, I'm a little bit more aggressive, so I may not think, you know, sometimes, I said, in this particular instance, I was humble. I said, well, I'm woman enough to own up to it, and I definitely apologize because it definitely wasn't intentional. And I'll be mindful of that. I said, I never would want you to feel like that, you know, but I appreciate the fact that you were honest enough to tell me. And actually, it ended up being a thing where we recognize that we feel that we can make it in the future because of the fact that we were able to, in a mature manner, discuss something and then not only kind of talk about it between the two of us, but move from it. I had a conversation later today. It was like it never happened because we were able to actually deal with it in that moment as opposed to putting it off for another time. Because we faced that situation head on and moved through it, as uncomfortable as it was, you know, I healed from that. And, you know, of course, so now I'm thinking about those things. And when I had my conversation with him, I showed him through my actions that I had made note of what he said. And I think that made him feel even better about me and his choice to have me. Does that make sense?
You said something earlier. I don't think this is the show to go back to that, but can you just go back? I want to be clear on what I heard you say. You said, I think he's a man of God or he's not in the church. What did you say?
Well, he's not. He doesn't have a church home, but he does attend church. Like, he hasn't made a church his official home. So, honestly, I don't pass judgment on that because he's still trying. And the one thing I do like is that his son is in the church that he has selected at this time that he does attend, and he wants me to attend, you know, with him sometime. And he wanted me to do my own research before choosing to come with him. You know, he said, you can still do your research and see if it's something that you feel comfortable with. But they have a kid's, you know, whatever, and he was telling me that about the Fernia, which I really liked because he took into consideration it wouldn't just be me coming to church, it would be me and Nia, you know, so he was like, my son, he's in the kids ministry, blah, 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 and, you know, I think this will be a really good church for you, you know, are you still looking for a church home? The fact that he took the lead on that without me even having that conversation, and then throughout our conversation we talk about God and how in the midst of it all, you know, he's here in the midst of it, or else there are things that he's working on both of us, and at this point we're having things that we're working on together, and that's a good thing. And if we're doing this early on, just imagine the things that we can overcome later on. So that became the conversation. Mm-hmm. But
I appreciate it.
No, you're good. You're good. So the best part about it was, you know, I forgot what I was going to say. But, yes, thank you for looking out. So, yeah.
Yeah, you my sister down in the NC.
No,
I just wanted to make sure I was hearing. All good.
Yes, sir. We're good.
We know that that's not selfish. We're going to move on, keep it back on topic. So it's all good in the neighborhood, okay?
Yes, it is. But that's a true brother, yes. And I appreciate that. You know what I mean?
Man, I'm sorry, we had a detour. Oh, hold on, put the car in park. Put the car in park. Hold on, we can talk for a minute there. All right, let me just make sure I got everybody on board. Okay, you know, here's the thing, though. Our culture, we live in a selfish culture, though. Our culture perpetuates selfishness, me, myself, and I. And think about this. Okay, so this is something that's small, but just think about this. This is how we subliminally respond to this. I'm flying on an airplane, and the first thing it says is that, you know, in the event of an emergency, put your oxygen mask on first.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that that's about saving me, but that's how we act in the culture that we live in. Nah, brother, I got to put my vest on first before I can take care of you. Well, if we go back to those scriptures, that's not what the foundational scriptures are teaching us. And so what we have done is we made it about the world's way as opposed of the word's way, okay? So we take that little L out in it, and we put L represents the lust of the flesh, the desires of the flesh, all of that man have created. So what are we going to do? Are you going to operate on the world, or are you going to stand in the word? So, but you got to know the foundation in order to be part of the foundation. You know what I'm saying? I think, you know, I'm teaching this class this past week. We're going, it's 6 weeks. We're going on a journey. So I had to have a lesson plan, a syllabus. But I had to map it out on where I wanted to go. And it started with having the foundation. I think that a lot of times that selfishness kicked into play in a lot of areas of relationships because most relationships don't have foundation. In many instances, what I mean by that is that do our beliefs, our values align? Do we both operate under the same, you know, spirit-based beliefs or what
have
you?
Are we equally yoked?
Those things are essential. Are we equally yoked? Right. And so those things are so essential because we're happy to get into a relationship, but I tell you, it's harder to get out of a relationship. Many people don't have a problem getting into a relationship. We got the problem getting out of a relationship when you need to get out, when it, look, the ship's going down. But the problem
right.
is that you can't see that the ship's going down because you're so caught up in he makes me feel good or she looks so good. All the looks can't do
mm-hmm.
anything in the world when you're going straight to hell.
That's
yeah.
right.
Absolutely not.
That's true.
And if it causes you to operate in a spirit of the spirit of selfishness, and then the spirit of selfishness has nothing to do with the name of love. I asked a question
That's
this
right.
past week the other day. I said, how many people have been hurt by love? All the hands went up. And I said, think about my question.
But love doesn't
How many
hurt,
people have been
though.
Hurt by the love? Bingo.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. You can teach the lesson. Absolutely right. Love doesn't hurt because God is love. And so what I'm saying
yeah.
is that when we get back to the foundation, if we get back to the beginning, like I love Donna
yeah.
Lawrence's song, Let's Get Back to Eden. Live on top
mm-hmm.
of the world. Let's get back to Eden.
Yeah.
We got to do that and realize where we come from. And if we realize where we come from, God has a vision and provisions that he'll provide to us to take us where we're going. But oftentimes
mm-hmm.
we make it about our desire through the world's way that we want to create because it's got to be my time, my way, and when and here, it's now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
selfishness coming into play because that's where
yeah.
the world says, hey, look, hey, you can have that because that's what you want. You know, you can
mm-hmm.
have that. So it doesn't talk about any of the foundational pieces that, you know, hey, well, yeah, you can have that, but is that what God has for you? I don't want
mm-hmm.
what somebody else has because I
right.
don't want to covet. Okay, they got a nice car, a nice house. He has a great-looking husband or whatever. And I'm saying that if I were a female. Let's just be real clear on that one. She has
mm-hmm.
a great-looking he has a great-looking wife, whatever. You know, I just need to add a little clarity to that one, Toy. I'm sorry.
No doubt.
You know, all of that. That's well and good. But if that ain't what God has for me, I don't want it. Return the sender. And so
yeah.
a lot of times we get selfish because we get caught up in desires of fulfilling the things that we really want to have. And a lot of us
mm-hmm.
want love, but we look for love in the wrong places, and then we were hurt in the name of love. Then we get frustrated, bruised, broken, and confused, and we lose our mind, and then we say, I was hurt by love. And no, love didn't hurt you. Selfishness did.
That's
selfishness
right.
did. The number one
you
call
know,
in the news.
You said something
one,
really important. I mean, I actually posted it.
Go back. What I
say? You said, you know, are we going to do it the world's way or are we going to do it the Word's way? And, man, that thing just hit me so hard because even in the example you gave about being on the airplane and, you know, in case of emergency, we have adapted so much of what the world says we should do and who we should be
mm-hmm.
and how
mm-hmm.
we should be.
Mm-hmm.
Even in business, you know, even with dealing with your peers, your other entrepreneurial people that you have met and connected with, people
mm-hmm.
are no longer interested in building relationships and friendships. All
mm-hmm.
they want is what they can get from you.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have that they want that can help them get to where they want to be? And then that spills right over into their personal lives because they don't know how to separate
mm-hmm.
it anymore. They don't know
yeah.
how to just pick up the phone and call someone and say, how are you? You know,
mm-hmm.
what's going on in your life? Are you okay? You don't even know how to do that with your spouse because
mm-hmm.
you are so obsessed with
yeah.
getting to the next level. Who can
yeah.
I connect with that can help me get here
mm-hmm.
or get
mm-hmm.
there? That there's no relationship
mm-hmm.
building. Everything
mm-hmm.
is networking. It's all networking, but there's
mm-hmm.
no relationship. And so it spills over into our personal lives. You don't know
yeah.
how to say
mm-hmm.
to your husband, how can I serve you today, honey? What can I do to
mm-hmm.
make your life better? Because you are obsessed.
Busy planning your next conference, busy doing your next client, busy doing
Absolutely.
Your next marketing,
Absolutely.
Busy on social media, talking to the rest of the world, billion people you want to talk to, and you got a spouse right in your face that you need to talk to.
Absolutely.
Uh-oh, you get the organ on that one. I give you the applause for now, though. That was good.
Hey,
we got a caller.
People better wake up.
510, absolutely. 510-963. Hey, you're live. Welcome to the call. Your comment or your question, please, for the rest of the group.
Hello, family. How are
Great.
You all?
Great.
Good, good, good. This is your girl, Ren, chiming
Hi.
In.
Hi.
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 Oh, I had to chime in there, y'all. You know, enjoying the conversation. Took a little break and said, let me hear what the family's talking about. But I wanted to comment on something that you said, Chris, that has resonated with me over the past weeks, months, is we talk about love doesn't hurt. Toxic love hurts. Because let's just face it, the Lord told us to love our enemies as well. And let's face it, our enemies hurt. When we find out there's somebody in our camp that is opposing us that we thought was on board with us, thought they were going to be our ride or die, thought that they were going to go the distance with us, and we find out otherwise, that hurts. What we have to understand, and even in our relationship with God, God so loved the world that he gave to us his only begotten son. It hurt God that we stepped away from him. But what we have to understand is real love, God's agape love, you press past the hurt and pain. You press it because it's going to be there. You just have to realize, you know what, I can't do like the world does. When I am just totally disgusted, I just I toss everybody out. I toss the baby and the bath water out. That's not what God is telling us to do. He said, I need you to love them anyway. I need you, don't get in your feelings. They may be in their selfish mode because they just keep taking and they were using, they were doing whatever the case may be. But I need you as my ambassador, as my representative on the earth, I need you to press in and I need you to continue to love them. And the only way that you could get to that type of love is, as you stated, you've got to get out the world and you've got to get into the Word, because the Word is your strength. The Word is what exercises those spiritual muscles so that you can be able to love and push past the hurt and the pain that has been inflicted on you by another individual or a group, whatever the case may be. That's all I'm going to add.
Wow.
Yes.
And that's a powerful
reunion show right here.
Yes. Yes.
You know,
I mean, it's true.
Yes, and selfishness, we get caught up in that because we get, here's the deal. We have to then look at ourselves. Am I being selfish because this person has not loved me the way I love them? Now if you put it back on you, it's about me. If I'm loving them this way, then they should love me this way. If I do for them, why aren't they doing for me? Well, guess what? God does for us every solitary day. When he opens our eyes up for us. And sometimes we can't even say thank you. We can't, you know, we just like, oh, okay, this is just what he's supposed to do. You got to get to a place where you have to now look inward. What am I doing? How am I operating? Am I really, truly operating first and foremost? The most fundamental relationship that I could ever, ever have is my relationship with my Lord and Savior. Am I being selfish with my Savior? And then once you define that, then you can start saying, then, Lord, if I'm being selfish with you, then I need you to show me how I'm being selfish with all the other people that are coming in and out of my life and those who you have planted in my life for a lifetime. Show me that.
Because it's a direct reflection. It's a direct reflection. And, you know, and then even with that, then there's the self-examination part that's after that. Because, see, once you know, then you need to hold yourself accountable to that. And I guess I use myself as an example, because in my example situation today, I literally reapplied what I learned. And practice makes permanent. So the question becomes, once you know that and you recognize and acknowledge that, no matter how subtle it is, because I'm not perfect, nobody is, but at least I'm willing to work on that part to make it better, and I'm willing to do it consistently. Because some of us, we know that, but we're not doing anything to change that, or you do it for a little while, and then you're right back to being the same selfish self you were before. So,
that's,
you know,
right.
We've got to really check ourselves before we wreck ourselves and the people around us, because we're only hurting ourselves even more, because everything you do externally is a reflection of what you're doing internally. So just imagine the internal spiritual damage you're doing within yourself at the sake of everybody around you.
That's right. That's right. We can, you can't have that. Go ahead, Deb.
Yeah, that self-examination piece is
it's not easy. It is not.
No, it's not.
It's
uncomfortable.
And see who you really are. You know, the Bible says that the heart is desperately wicked. And so if our heart is desperately wicked, even when we are trying to do right, even when we are supposedly serving others, are we doing it for selfish reasons? Are we doing it to get recognition? Are we doing it
for gratification? Yeah.
You know, and so it is so important that we spend that time in the Word, that we continually, day after day, ask the Lord to search us, see if there be any wicked way in us, and give Him permission to uproot it. Because sometimes we think we're operating from a place of selflessness, but really, we are being driven by selfishness.
You're right. We have to go in. This is something that I pray all the time to the Lord, and I pull it from the Psalms. Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a
right spirit
in
me.
It starts with me
Psalms
first.
51.
Because we are really good. We are really, really good. Thank you, Toy. We are really, really good at pointing out, making our list, and identifying in everybody else around us their selfishness, their manipulativeness, their whatever the case may be. But we do not want to really look at ourselves. And it starts with courage to say, God, show me me. Show me me. And what you show me, don't just show it to me and I'm not going to use it, I'm not going to do anything. Because there's a lot of folks who say, oh, Lord, show me me, and God's showing you every single day. And you just like, okay, that's on that. He's showing me for somebody else. We want to spiritualize it. Oh, my God, he gave me this. Oh, I'm prophesying now. He gave it to me for you. No, he gave it to you.
No,
boo.
He gave it to you for you. Here's the kicker. Here's the kicker, though. The same trait that you're finding in all these other people, whether it's good or bad, is the same trait that's within you, because you can't identify it. You have to have a point of reference, and the only frame of reference you have is from yourself and your own will and intellect. In order for you to identify that in somebody else, ding, 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 guess what? Hello, you are your own weakest link. So if you're talking about all these faults and of other people, you know, that's where you still got to look back at you. My dad used to tell me all the time, God rest his soul, whenever you point your finger at somebody else, you got three more fingers pointing back at you.
That's right. That's so true. That is so true.
And, you know, that's why sometimes I know for me, right, I know the people who rub me the wrong way. I know that when I see them, I get knotted up on the inside. And so I
God
have
is working on you.
And I have to say, Lord, there's something here.
It?
There's a reason why I feel this way about this person. Is it envy? Is it jealousy? Is it
That's
this?
Right.
Work on
yes.
me.
Deal and with it, yes.
Yep, and you know what? Sometimes you have to just take a step back. You have to stop looking at other people. You have
That's
to
right.
shut it down so
yes.
that you're
right.
not feeling those things, and the Lord can really begin to show you what it is that he wants you to work on. We have
right.
to take our eyes off people and put our eyes on the Lord, because
That's
we will
right.
be looking at people and we're going to go straight to hell because we're watching them and all these feelings are coming up inside of us and we're not with them, and God is trying to say, I want you to take your eyes off of this person.
Yes.
Take your eyes off of them. Put your focus on me and let me work on you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to. In order to heal, you must kneel. In order to heal, you must kneel, because there's a submission and there's that acknowledgement that is greater than you. In order to fix what's broken inside of you, because the greater one is inside of us.
Can I just add to this is really just on me as of lately, just some of the things that I've been dealing with. You may be able to fake the funk with other human beings, but you cannot fake the funk with Jesus. Can
no,
I just let
you
gotta be if you cannot
Honey.
Be real with Christ, who sees all, he sees to the deepest recesses of your heart. Guess what, y'all? You deceiving, as the word said, you deceiving yourself, really. Because you're faking the funk. You got to come clean. You got to be real honest with the Lord about where you are and what you are doing. And you know, one thing I can tell folks, been in this long enough, God will tell it to you before he tells somebody else to check you.
Oh, man, listen.
Okay, he is going
to
tell it to you.
Something comes to mind, guys. Something comes to mind. These are all valid points, and I hope every listener is taking notes on this, but I think I've kind of got a challenge that I'm hearing. And I'm trying to unpack this in my head as it's coming down and downloaded to me. Number one, a lot of times when – see, it's easy to address selfishness when there's no problems.
Mm-hmm.
So when everything's going well in the relationship or it's in the euphoria stage or wherever that is, it's easy to address selfishness because you can call it out and you're willing at that point to at least be civil, dignified, or sanctified in your response. However, God is saying, if you're focused on them, you're not looking at me. Toy just said, you know, you need a knee ministry in this as you're dealing with the spirit of selfishness. Lorenda was just saying, Lord, create in me a right mind and a clean spirit, right? Renew my heart to that extent. I just jacked that all up, but y'all know my heart and what I'm trying to say.
It's all right. It's all right. God knows your heart.
So I think my challenge to you all is really to kind of take a moment of self-reflection and to really to just – it doesn't recall for a call and response. It's rhetorical. It's to ask God, where am I falling short in this area? How can I be better, bigger, and not bitter? And how do I, if I've got to apologize? So that's the level of humility, going back to the scripture in Philippians, that they talk about of being humble. So, and that part is not necessarily easy when you've been haughty or prideful, you know. But it says to be humble, and I'm talking about Philippians 2, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourself. So my question to the group is, how do you do that in the midst of your pain? How do you count others more highly than yourself when they get on your everlasting nerve? Help me find Jesus in this equation for the listeners.
You
and
can't do
myself,
it in your own power.
Have all patience.
I like that.
You cannot do this in your own power. That's our problem as human beings. We keep trying to do it all within our own power and our own strength. You can't do it. You have to press in. You have to tap into the power that is dwelling within you, which is the Holy Spirit, to help you in this area. As long as you keep looking at the situation that you're going to do it in your own might, you are going to continuously fail, calling it straight. I shoot from the hip. But
it's
when
true.
You seriously submit, and see, this is where the problem lies, and we've talked about this before, folks, is it's a problem with submission. You don't want to submit to the authority and the power of God in order so he can correct you. The word said he rebukes, which means he corrects those that he loves. Don't go to him with this, like I said, this fakeness. Okay, show me me. No, submit to him and say, Lord, I cannot do this in this flesh. This flesh is warring. This flesh is warring with my spirit. I want to do good, but my flesh is saying do the turn up. So I got to tap into the power of the Holy Spirit and yield to the power in order so God can change me. And it's not going to be – sometimes, you know, God does do things miraculously, and what he does, boom, snap of a finger, it's done. A lot of times he got to work it out in us. He got to keep bubbling it up. I give an example. My grandmother was a fisherwoman. And she loved to fish, and she would have her worm bed in the backyard. And I used to say, Grandma, you would throw out your scraps of food or whatnot, and she said, this is for my juicy worm, but I have to turn the soil in order so that they can continue to get what I'm putting on top. That's the same thing that God wants to do with us. He got to turn the soil because there's some things at the bottom that got to come up. For the air, for the light, for him to correct in us. But you have to really want it, and you have to submit to that. As you said, it is not easy. But when you want all that God has for you, all
you
that he has planned for you, guess what? You will go through the process, through the through the ugly cry face, through the the harshness, through whatever it is that he needs to work out in you. You will do it because you want to be the best for him, because you want to be the light in the earth. That's what you have to do. That's just
and
my take.
And it deals with your inner man, because, you know, when you're talking about the Holy Spirit, he will lead you and guide you into all truth.
That's
so
right.
You have to come to a place where you're ready for that. A lot of us say we are, but we're not really ready.
Amen.
Like, when he really brings that truth, like today, that truth for me was very real, and I knew it was God talking to me through him. What else could it be? Because I didn't even, I mean, I wasn't even, it just, I wasn't even thinking along those lines, but I'm glad it happened, because I had just, and see, here's what happens. You know how you pray a prayer and then you forget about it? Well, God did not forget. So it just popped up in a different situation altogether. And then I thought about that, Lord, I did ask you to show me me. I did ask you to help me to continue to improve so I can be a much better wife. Not that I was a bad wife or a good or bad wife, but, I mean, I just want to be the second time around. Like, this is, it can lead to that. And I want to be the right, in the right spirit of mind and conversation for my next marriage, which will be my, you know, that'll be it, you know. And I really, and I was just talking to God about how I wanted to do these things. Okay, so now, Toy, here's your lesson number one, you know, like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And thank God that I had the wisdom to, and I was able to see how I've even grown from when I was married the first time, even though I'm not married, remarried yet, but, you know, this is a thing that could lead to that. But I can tell that I'm different because my reaction was totally different.
That's right.
It hit me, and I didn't go alpha female on him. Well, look, you know, I was humble. I submitted to God first, recognizing that it was him speaking through him and not just him, which is different. And then I was able to receive and listen and hear the truth for what it was, so that I can lean not to my own understanding and be, you know, and truly hear what God was trying to help me deal with, you know. And in doing so, the reward and the fruit of that is, you know, the relationship growing as a result of it. But had I not been obedient to the Spirit of God in that moment, I wouldn't be talking to this dude at all. Yeah, I'd be on here talking about, I did have a boyfriend, but I don't have one no more.
I think Ed has a comment. Let's jump in.
So I just wanted to say, guys, you know, while you're here talking, I'm reminded of a story in the Bible that, you know, here it is that this lady, this mother, you know, there was famine in the land, and this mother was, all she had was the last meal left for her and her son. And she was about, they were about to eat and then prepare themselves to die. And here comes this total stranger come to her and says, well, you know, I'm hungry. And she said, well, all I have is just some meal and, you know, I was some flour. I was about to make my last meal for me and my son, and we would eat and then we'd die. Then this man said to her, feed me first.
Come on.
Yes, he did.
Feed me first, and whatever is left, then you and your son can eat. Now, in that moment, that is very selfish. For anyone that read the story, that is very selfish. However, because of her connection with someone that is greater than the man that is asking her to feed him,
she obeyed and
she fed that man. And the Bible went on to say that her basket never empty from that day moving forward.
Glory.
That's right. Come on, come on, you're getting a love offering.
So what am I saying? Mm-hmm. What am I saying here? You know, Chris, you asked a question earlier on, and Lorinda answered it very well. You know, in order for us not to be selfish, we have to be in connection with someone that is greater than self.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I can't be in connection with him today and think that because I was so strong today, tomorrow is going to be okay. It's a daily, dying daily. So it's a
daily
connection. Tomorrow, I can't connect today enough for tomorrow because tomorrow is a new day. So therefore, tomorrow is going to be a new connection.
And so
because we are so selfish, man, we are selfish creature, we have to, in order for us to not to feed into self because it becomes natural, we're going to have to stay connected to the man that is greater than self.
You have to.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot do this life without Christ.
You get the order for that one.
You can't.
Mm-hmm. Say that again, Ren.
You cannot do this life without Christ. You
Come
have
on.
To stay connected. We see it daily. When you are disconnected from Christ, we get this whole fake reality that everything is going well. But you are dead. There is something missing. You are. You know, my girlfriend said something to me that she said there's a whole lot of walking dead going
Zombies.
On. Zombies, because you are not connected to the source. You can't
That's
do
right.
this. You can't release all this. You can't even identify. There's a lot of people that might be listening to this saying, oh, my goodness, I'm not a selfish person.
Right.
We so arrogant.
Right.
Oh, yeah, you have.
That.
You've had moments. We've all had moments. You're selfish.
Yeah.
You think about yourself. You think about it's all about me. But thank you so much, Edward, for reminding us about that widow woman and her son. It's
mm-hmm.
not about you. It's about heeding the word of God. And you stand on every word that proceeded out of his mouth, not your own mouth,
mm-hmm.
out of his mouth. And this is
mm-hmm.
how he said to treat other people. I got
mm-hmm.
you. We got to trust the God that we say we serve. So therefore, guess what? It's not about me. It's about him.
Yep.
It's about his glory shining through me. It's about
mm-hmm.
me being the salt of the earth. It's
mm-hmm.
about him using me.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we win people. That's how people say, I want what you got.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the inner man.
Amen.
You have to renew the spirit of your mind.
Absolutely. And, Toy, that's a good note that will segue to Debbie and bring this in for a landing. And we want to thank our listeners. We went 10 minutes over, or 15 minutes over. We normally used to go to about 11, but, you know, we've been doing from 9 to 10. And so, Debbie, let's get your closing thoughts. I'll go around the barn one time with everybody for your closing comments in 60 seconds or less.
Yeah, you know, I think Lorinda's last statement summed it up beautifully. You know,
mm-hmm.
we cannot do this life without Christ. We can't. We cannot. We need him daily. We need him every moment because the minute that we lay him down, our selfish nature will take over. Pride, ego, selfishness, those are the things that's going to lead us straight to hell. There's no place for selfishness in a successful relationship.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Absolutely. Ed, I'll save that for last. Ren, closing comments?
Nope, I've already said. I've already
dropped
said
it, you
what,
dropped the mic
what
on
I need. Yep. That's
it. Oh, I just want to support with the scripture. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And that bread is representative of relationships or whatever it is that's in your life that's overshadowing and overpowering the will of God for your life because of your lack of knowledge of the word of God. And you're supposed to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman not being ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that truth will set you free once you deal with it within yourself first.
Yes.
All right, Edward.
Okay, so we started out by talking about relationship and whether or not selfishness have a place in relationship. You know, and so the word is two words put together. You know, and the first one is relate. I can't relate to myself. I need someone else, you know, to relate to. And so, you know, the Bible says, come, let us reason together. Whenever you're reasoning together, there can't be any argument. There can't be any I. There's no selfishness involved in reasoning together. I'm understanding you. You're understanding me. And we're coming to a common denominator based on what is best for the relationship. Let us all continue to focus on the relationship and not on the person.
Yeah, hey, that's so appropriately put and said. I think every time we focus on the person, we get distracted from the mission of focusing on Jesus. Because what we're ultimately designed, he wants us to do, is see them like he sees us. And so with that said, we've got to see it with a different lens. And oftentimes we look at other people, their flaws, their imperfections, their inadequacies, their insecurities, the list can go on. We look at that and become judgmental in a sense because and selfish at the same token, because that's our key focus tonight. We become selfish and self-centered. So hopefully something tonight that was said, a word or was shared. I want to thank all those folks who joined in tonight. Shout-outs to Toy. Shout-outs to Lorenda. We ain't heard from y'all. It's been good to have the fan reunion get together.
Yes.
Shout-out to Deb. And next week's topic that we're going to talk about, I think it's man talk, but what we're going to do, we're going to shift gears and we're going to talk about, can you give too much too soon in a relationship? So that's next week's topic. So can you give too much too soon in a relationship? So join in, same time, same bat channel. That's next Monday at 9 p.m. Be there, be square. And you can also connect at the on our social media group, The Real Talk with Chris Richardson Show. Join the group page. That way you stay connected to what's going on. So thank you, folks. It's been a fun, pleasing measure, a treat and a pleasure for you all to roll with a brother tonight. I just want to salute you. Good night. God bless.
Good night, guys. Love you guys.
Love you guys, too.
Later.
Bye-bye.
Love you.